Hello, my name is Wayne O'Connor, and I am going to read my three Knights poems. I sometimes call them the Knights Poem Trilogy. Knights Poem Number 1, Ballad of the Knights Under God. There are two orders of knights who ride under the banner of God. Although one order may boast of countless coats of arms, they are but one order. Kingfisher is the order whose founding fathers gave their lives, but whose lifestyles of selflessly loving the Lord and obeying His Spirit have been lost in the mist of time, like the mysterious Melchizedek. Even though they fall short of what the Lord intended, He loves them and blesses them whenever He wills. While the order of Kingfisher knights devote their lives to God, they are given their rank by men, and live according to their various interpretations at the castles where they serve. Many times the Lord looks down with teary eyes as they joust among themselves to prove whose doctrine is better, or to test the castle pecking order. When the castles unite to wage a holy war, is their victory due to blessing, or their battle cry, "The end justifies the means"? Proudly they set their chargers, feathery plumes grace their helms, colorful lance pennants wave a signal victory, sturdy heraldic shields signify their castles. Clouds of musky incense and martial trumpet blasts surround them as the sun gleams brightly off their armor. Oh, the vista of their panoply! Amid the pomp and ceremony, the simple truths of the word are often obscured. All the while, bold dragons roam the lands, capturing and devouring the simple peasant saints of God, and their blood cries out from the sands. God loves His children, both the simple and the wise. He hears their cries of pain and death as they shatter the silent sky. He sees their blood as it quickly splatters, but slowly soaks into the cold earth. From His throne He reaches down to take some home. He covers the rest with His hand. When at last God retracts His mighty arm, a scattered band of armorless knights sleep deeply on the moon-kissed sands. Not owning the metal armor of men, they, when they awake from their sweet and guarded rest, will don the armor of God. They will grow in His ways, forsaking the traditions of men, and learn to walk the narrow, selfless path of Jesus Christ, the Son. Humbled and submitted to God, climbing mountains and traversing arduous deserts, while eating the manna of heaven, they develop character and a servant's heart. Weak in the beginning, still the dragons never fully win. Even when they fall from exhaustion, death is not allowed to overtake them at a time not set by God. Much to God's despair, the most difficult battles are not with the enemy, but with their brothers in Christ, the Kingfisher Knights. Knights Kingfisher often rally to the chase, while the dragons and imps are ignored. They stop to hunt the ones they call ghost riders, rebels against the citadels, or knights of the sword and the cup. Scatter, wound, or mock is the battle cry against those whose Christ-like example is dangerous to the Kingfisher creed of flesh, intellect, ceremony, and control, for the glory of God. Written in November on the 26th day of 1987, copyright 1989. Wayne O'Connor. Dedicated first to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and second to the two orders of knights, Melchizedek, also called the Knights of the Sword and the Cup, and Kingfisher. Knight's Poem Number 2. There was once a knight of the sword and the cup. Like every knight of the sword and the cup, he was chosen by God and trained by the Spirit in the way of the Lord. Young in years, but advanced in the way, he was sent on hunts in the name of his Lord Jesus Christ. He was a ghost rider, a rebellious ranger, who followed the Spirit of God rather than the Kingfisher's creed. He'd slain dragons, banished evil spirits, and destroyed strongholds with the sword of the Lord. He traveled from city to city and farm to farm, as well as hidden caves and piney groves, telling truths of the word and being used of the Spirit to speak whatever needed heard. His tasks and training were more difficult than many a ghostwriter had ever passed through. So great was the strain that it was more than he could bear when his Lord gave the day to the minions of Hell Hades. The knight felt betrayed when his sword finally shattered. His greatest loss was the sight of his brothers and sisters of the sword in the cup, hewn down without mercy by enemies who had lost at the cross. Battered, bruised, and blinded by pain, he'd been left for dead. Shattered in spirit and tormented in mind, he crawled away. The knight had not realized that his valiant protector had not left him. He did not understand that battles may be lost, even though the war had already been won by Jesus Christ. The only rule is to stand with the Lord, for he never makes mistakes. He ran from place to place to escape the pain, no matter how far or how fast he ran. The dragons were always there to torment him until they tired of the sport. The sword that had once sliced the thickest of scales and had once darted so quickly that it hummed, was broken, and they knew it. He could run, but not forever. Sleep was no longer a luxury to be hoarded or treasured, but a series of losing battles. Confidence gained from constant victory as a knight of the sword and the cup was replaced by the despair of defeat. Even though the hand of God offered a reforged sword from time to time, a mind numbed by betrayal and grief refused to take it up again. God's protection had never left, although it was unseen. Humiliation replaced fear and sorrow, as kingfishers found the fallen knight and commenced to celebrate the justice of God against this misguided ghost rider. Pity and God's will kept them from lancing him, but their appetite for conquest was whetted, and they stabbed him with mocking words. Occasionally they offered empty solace that never seemed to heal the wounds. At other times they tossed stale salt. They talked about God as they knew him and demanded their point on the fall of one knight of the sword and the cup. They never tired of asking questions designed to deny the life of the Spirit, or belittle knights of the sword and the cup who believe that God leads by his Spirit, not just by his book. They said it was sin and rebellion to think that the knights of the sword and the cup could submit to God and his Spirit, while ignoring the ruling class of the Order Kingfisher, who were appointed by erudite men. God Most High had not forgotten his paladin with the broken sword. 'Twas training as usual come to an end, a course completed on this plateau of never-ending sand. Jehovah Nissi sent several knights of the sword and the cup to prove that ghost riders, for Jesus still rode as chosen cups, filled with his Holy Ghost and wielding the sword of the Spirit. Written in 1989, on November 27th of 1987, copyright 1989, by Wayne O'Connor. Knight's Poem Number 3, of Eros and Chivalry. When I ride away into the dusk of your memories, you will remember me for an everlasting instant. Softly the well of your soul trickles like the sorrowful summer rains that follow the hot, angry, cloudburst cries of desire. Your destiny will come in the form of another. He will take my place. So savor your dream-swept tumbling visions of blood and steel and starshine and silk as they continue always to seek for me, the one that is not me. Believe me when I say that any man, even at his pinnacle, is still imperfection. Imperfection is normal and perfection intangible. The essence of wish rings, hope smoke, and dream dust. For those of my creed, fairy tale endings can never be. Far better be it to save and cherish a dream than to have to dream, to remember. Every knight that enters battle, ensheathed in mental honor, and encased in burnished metal, can't expect to win unscathed. A cavalier must never forget the doom of future princesses, and that he must be free to save each one. A paladin must always remember the will of God, and the commands of king and country, the honor he must seek, and wisdom he must defend, and vice versa, as well as the lifelong quest that never ends until to God his ghost is given. Written in college, date unknown, that would probably have been somewhere between 1980 and 1985. It was copyrighted in 1989.